I Am the Law is presented by Rutgers Law School. The Rutgers Cannabis Law Certificate Program is open to all entrepreneurs and those looking to get into this highly profitable industry in New Jersey. Scholarships are available. No smoke and mirrors there. Visit law.rutgers.edu to learn more. From Law Hub, this is I Am the Law, podcast where we talk with lawyers about their jobs to shed light on how they fit into the larger legal ecosystem. I'm Kyle McEntee. In this episode, I interview a legal aid lawyer at a community services nonprofit in the Deep South. Support comes from Vermont Law and Graduate School. Vermont Law and Graduate School empowers students to dream big. It welcomes and shares passions for social justice, the environment, criminal justice reform, and so much more. At VLGS, realism and idealism collide. Together, students and faculty positively transform the world around them. From an accelerated two-year JD to an online hybrid JD, VLGS offers innovative programs where you can learn at your own pace. To learn more, please visit vermontlaw.edu.
Support also comes from the University of Idaho College of Law and its two locations. Partner with local small business owners, artists, and entrepreneurs with their Entrepreneurship Law Clinic. Learn from dedicated faculty in their business law program, or focus on protecting intellectual property on their IP law track. Idaho Law's Boise campus is the perfect place to gain experience in the state's rapidly developing business and nonprofit communities, while also having access to an abundance of recreational opportunities nearby. Visit uidaho.edu/law/apply to learn more today.
We're joined today by J.R. Thomas, client attorney at Birmingham AIDS Outreach, BAO, an organization that provides a range of services to people living with HIV and AIDS, including pro bono legal services. J.R., can you talk about the services your organization provides and to whom?
BAO provides healthcare services, social work services, services for pets. We have counselors on duty. We have social workers that help people get resources and work with clients to get housing, maintain public benefits, a wide range of services, almost like a holistic one-stop shop.
So basically, you've got this group of people with HIV or AIDS, and they've got a variety of challenges, and the organization is there to help them overcome those challenges.
That's a good way to put it.
So some of those additional services that your organization provides, it's where you come in, and those are legal services. So what's the kind of legal work that your organization's doing?
A broad range of things that someone low income without other resources would encounter. We handle all kinds of cases except for standard criminal defense, tax, and immigration. A lot of the work that I do is focused on domestic relations. I see a lot of clients that are married that haven't seen their spouse in many years, and they may have never thought to get divorced until it has affected their eligibility for benefits. We also help clients reinstate their driver's license, maybe it's suspended for old fines that they were unable to pay. We assist clients with getting on disability, basic estate planning, wills, advanced directives, powers of attorney, and housing. We do a lot of housing, landlord-tenant issues.
So with such a wide array of legal services that your organization provides, how big is the legal portion?
So we have three attorneys total. We have our supervisor. He is the director of legal programs. And then myself and one other client attorney.
It's actually pretty significant for a community nonprofit. Can you talk a little bit about the onboarding? In other words, how are you finding the clients, or how are they finding you?
The way I get a client is a client that's been a client of BAO's for a while, or a new client of the organization's. Once they go in for their monthly check-in or six-month update, their social worker that's assigned to their case that day will ask them if there's any legal issues they have. And they will say, my license is suspended, or I'm about to have a big surgery and I need a living will. depending on their legal issue that they tell the social worker, then the social worker will schedule them a meeting with me or one of my colleagues. So when they actually get to me for the appointment, I will go through that issue with them. But a lot of times what I see is my clients have other issues that they don't even know are issues. For example, anytime I have a client that is getting divorced, once we get the final judgment of divorce, then our next legal appointment is to either draft a will or to update the will.
And since they're not paying you, it's not like you've got an incentive to just pile on legal issues. You're just trying to help.
Right. It doesn't matter how many hours we bill. We don't get an extra salary, but it's beneficial to our clients. Recently, I had a client that needed assistance finding new housing, and I was able to work with this client and research housing opportunities for this client based on their budget and funding that was available to them that if I were in private practice, it wouldn't, for one, if I have a client that was facing homelessness, they obviously wouldn't be paying me. But if they were, then I would say, you need to find somebody else to do this because it's a lot cheaper. You don't need to pay me. It's nice to be able to work with clients and be able to help them, guide them to other resources they need without having to tell them no and just email them and tell them, hey, you need to reach out to this person or this person. And a lot of clients need that. It's not enough to just say, here, go do this. It's better to say, hey, you come in, we're going to do this together, it gets done. The issue, if it's not resolved, then we're making progress to getting it resolved.
So how do the clients react to these suggestions of additional services?
They're very thankful, but I would say surprised because they don't understand. I can kind of see where it's hard. You walk in to talk to me about a divorce, and then you leave with me telling you you potentially have other issues. And they're like, no, I don't. That hasn't affected me. That's not an issue.
So your practice is like a real life issue spotting exercise every day. Are you ever worried you're missing anything?
All the time. The other two attorneys that I work with are fantastic. The great thing about our legal program is we all have our little areas that we really enjoy and that we've done for a while. Neither of them like domestic relations work. I love that work. That's all I did in private practice. And I know what I'm doing and I feel good about it. If I have a eviction case, I am blank stares and I go straight to my colleague that handles a lot of the housing issues and talk through those issues with her. But that also goes back to our scheduling. The social worker that schedules our client meetings with legal tries to schedule those based on the issue. A lot of our clients overlap, and so they may need to see all three of us, but we just collaborate and work together.
So you mentioned that you just really love the domestic relations work. What is it about it that kind of makes you smile as you're doing right now?
So when I got in private practice and I only handled domestic relations cases, I'm dealing with people's money and their kids. To me, it doesn't matter what kind of boundaries you have, you can't really turn it off. So I work all the time because I wanted to be good and know what I was doing. I will admit, I enjoyed the messy parts of it sometimes as well. I do, and I don't mean that. I don't enjoy people going through that, but I think a divorce case is not going to be boring, hardly ever. You're not seeing the same thing over and over. That's what made me really love it.
I think as a client, you want an attorney who is engaged, right? And not judging. And if you can balance the engagement and lack of judgment, I think that facilitates a really great attorney-client relationship.
Yes. And that's very important because in a divorce case where people may have done things in the privacy of their home and they're worried that may be exposed, I don't know that I could trust a divorce lawyer that I couldn't really talk to because then I can't be honest with them. I come from a customer service background. So as a lawyer, that was always my goal to establish a good relationship. I needed my client to tell me everything. I never want to go in a courtroom and something come out about my client that I have no idea about, because then I can't do any work to really mitigate it.
How do you get the clients to trust you enough then to make sure that you're never surprised? You have such a vulnerable population you're dealing with too. Like, I feel like it's got to be twice as hard.
It is harder now. You can't force that. That's just something that you really have to develop over time. I haven't had many cases yet where I was in court for a client that I hadn't established a relationship. But I think in the event that were to happen, you just have to do your best to make sure they understand the consequences of not being forthcoming, and for them to know that I can only help protect them if they can trust me.
And that's the case whether it's private practice or BAO, right? It's the same kind of trust you need.
Absolutely. And I think the difference in private practice and working in nonprofit is when I was in private practice, if a client didn't like me, they could fire me. If they didn't trust me, they could go elsewhere. Most of the cases I'm in court on at BAO are divorce or domestic relations cases. I think some of my clients expect a certain standard. I don't think they come in expecting somebody that really is going to do a lot of work. It's always a really good feeling to leave court and a client hug you and just say, I wasn't expecting that, or I didn't know you were going to work like that.
I Am the Law is supported by Rutgers Law School, who knows that no matter your background, there's a place for you at their school and in the field of law. Rutgers Law has a long-standing commitment to diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. The MSP program is one example, helping students from underrepresented communities thrive in the legal profession. The program's impact has been felt widely in social justice, corporate legal practice, politics, and the judiciary. Participants have built these accomplished legal careers with the support of the Rutgers Law community. When you apply, just indicate your interest in MSP on the application. Support for I Am the Law also comes from William & Mary Law School in historic Williamsburg, Virginia. William & Mary's mission is to educate highly skilled, passionate citizen lawyers who will use their legal skills to change the world. The William & Mary experience includes small class sizes, dedicated faculty and staff who are deeply invested in each student's success, and a supportive community. Your journey to becoming an extraordinary advocate can begin at William & Mary Law School.
Support also comes from the University of Idaho College of Law and its two locations. Gain hands-on experience through clinics like the Immigration Litigation and Appellate Clinic in Moscow. Students work on asylum, permanent residency, and citizenship cases, as well as appeals. Current students have argued before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in each of the past 2 years, including right on campus in 2023. Work with real clients, argue real cases, and make a real difference with Idaho law. Visit uidaho.edu/law/apply to learn more today.
So we've been talking about your private practice work for a little bit now. You were doing private practice for 3.5 years, also handling domestic relations issues. Now, I would consider that public interest work as well, since you were representing people in these. But public interest work for a nonprofit can be quite a bit different beyond the legal elements and the stakes. What made you make that jump?
Well, domestic relations could be considered public interest in how the pay scale is for domestic relations lawyers in comparison to lawyers at big firms that do not so personally impactful work. I worked in public interest all through law school in the summers. When I graduated, I intended on going into public interest, but I kind of fell into private practice. I really enjoyed my time there, but I knew at some point I would probably go back to public interest. And so this opportunity came up at BAO. I knew some of the lawyers there. I did some volunteer work with them. So I reached out to two of the lawyers there, kind of just picked their brains, and they were both very receptive to speaking to me. Both said they thought I'd be a good fit. And so I applied.
So were you worried that it was going to be lower pay than you'd been making in private practice?
I mean, that was one of the concerns, but that was kind of resolved pretty early on. I should buffer this by saying a lot of domestic relations firms in my area are small. That, and I think that's by design. You can't really have a huge firm of domestic relations lawyers because then there's always going to be conflicts. You got to have other people to represent opposing parties. So the benefits that I had in private practice were not, probably not really comparable to lawyers in these bigger firms or mid-sized firms. The pay is not going to be the same as like if you're at a big firm. But also in private practice, I wasn't making so much money that going into public interest was going to be a big difference.
And you get other benefits too, right? When you're working at an organization like this compared to a smaller firm.
So one of the benefits that I hope I benefit from is public service loan forgiveness, something at BAO is matching retirement, an established PTO system, which really appreciate. And just BAO being a bigger organization as a whole, all those things are already worked out. Everything is in place. Like I just went in, filled out my paperwork, and good to go.
All right. So we've talked a lot about working hard, working long hours, but also working emotionally draining cases. How many cases are you carrying on average?
I think right now I have around 65. Not all of those cases are active. Some of those are cases that I'm doing estate planning documents where I just need to have somebody come sign something.
And are you seeing a lot of different clients per week or is that pretty limited?
I try not to see any more than 6 clients a week. I stagger my schedule out to meet with clients Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays. And it just depends on if I have court that week, if I have other obligations, how I kind of schedule clients in. And if there aren't many clients that need to get in that week, then I will just try to catch up on busy work to close out other cases.
So what are you doing on Monday and Friday? Is that just closing out the cases, working on that busy work?
Yes, like drafting, admin type work. I may be like prepping for my client meetings. We talked earlier about clients coming in and having issues that they didn't know they had. Especially with newer clients, I may go in and just kind of do some background in addition to what I would normally ask and discuss with them. Is there anything else I need to talk about?
So when you are talking to your clients and you do come across a fairly novel issue for you, how are you learning what you need to know to actually help the client with that novel issue?
A lot of research and talking to my colleagues. I still rely on my colleagues that also practice domestic relations, whether it be in my area or outside of my geographical area. Obviously, not disclosing any client confidential information. That will give me guidance on how I want to proceed. There may be other things that I still need help with. And then if it gets to that, then I'll just like meet with our legal director and see what he suggests to get it finalized.
So the main idea behind a legal services organization is that someone else pays the bills for someone else's legal challenges. Where are you all getting the money to do the legal services work that you're doing?
The legal services, as well as I believe a lot of other services, are mainly funded by the Ryan White Care Act, I believe. I still keep up with my time, my bill. The clients don't pay it directly.
So that's a big difference between your work with a legal services organization and your work in private practice, because there you had to worry about collecting the money that you were owed or getting them to pay you ahead of time with a retainer. How does that impact the way you approach your day? Does it change it?
Absolutely. It makes such a big difference in how I can practice and help my clients. In private practice, if there is a client and we're in the middle of a very contested issue, and then our client is now worrying about how are they going to fund this? How are they going to pay for this? And then they don't want to go through with this part because they can't afford it. Then you worry about potential malpractice. I can't just limit how I practice and handle cases because of payment. Being where I am now, it makes a huge difference that when I meet with my clients, we're not talking about, well, my hourly rate is $250 an hour and my retainer is this and da 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 da. It makes it way less stressful to navigate these issues with them for them not to have to worry about the money to pay for it.
But having someone else pay the bills doesn't affect the attorney-client privilege with your actual clients though, right?
Oh, no. No.
I want to close with a little discussion, I guess, on your motivation. Like, what is it that gets you up every morning?
Where I grew up, there were not many people with a lot of money. Many people were modest means. And I've always thought that regardless of how much money someone has, they deserve adequate legal assistance. I feel like how I interact with my clients and how I treat them has a ripple effect on how they navigate other things. And to see how that does impact them and how appreciative they can be, it makes a big difference and it makes me want to go in and do work.
I'm the Law is a Law Hub production. Don't forget to subscribe and rate this show on your favorite podcast app.